Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. From sin, you set the Holy Ghost within. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. Guide us, you lay it right inside us. Holy Spirit, what a comfort. Heavenly Father, Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your kindness and love, taking us once again from wherever we were, O Lord, scattered around this town, this country, O Lord. You gave us traveling mercies. You led us into your house, O Lord, in the house of worship, in the house of fellowship, O Lord, where we can meet one another, where we can comfort one another, where we can partake of the sharing of the bread, O Lord, where our souls can be fed from your mouth, Heavenly Father. Take now control of the service as we commit the whole day into your hands. Bless the Sunday school lessons up there and here down, O Lord. Let your hand be upon us. Open our mouths and speak for your people, O Lord. Let what will be said be only for your glory and for the edification of your people. We commit this service into your hands. Bless those who have traveled, O Lord. We know they are scattered around the world, spending their holy days. Give them a blessed time, O Lord. Bring them back safely for your glory. We take now this service and commit it into your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you for our Sunday school lesson. We have already taken 5 minutes, so we are trying to thank you, musicians, for leading the songs. Thank you, Brother Vegas, Brother Clayton. God bless you. Thank you for coming from far, from near, for the visitors. We praise God. Amen. Let's read Psalms 133, the same Psalms we read last time. From 1 to 3, that's the entire psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So for our Sunday school lesson today, God bless you, Brother Christian, Sister Giselle, God bless you. For our Sunday school this morning, we are just going to continue on what we started last Sunday, offerings and sacrifices. So we saw last week that we wanted to talk about this topic of offerings and sacrifices because it's sometimes far deeper than we think. When I announced that we are going to talk about offerings and sacrifice, some may just think we want to talk about money. We want to talk about giving and making us people rich. But we are not. We don't want to talk about that aspect, though it's part of the world as well. But we want to talk about a deeper aspect of offerings and giving, offerings and sacrifices. So we saw last week that every worship involves some kind of giving. In any religion, in any cult, when they say worship, it involves giving. So giving may be in nature, it may be in kind, it may be physical, financial, or any kind of thing that they can give. But there is no worship without some kind of giving. We saw it in Egypt, in Greece, in Mesopotamia. They were bringing something to their God. And in the Bible also, we saw that giving, worshiping, involved giving to God. You couldn't come and worship God without some kind of giving. And we said that it was called sacrifice. It was called sacrifice. Why? Because it involved an element of pain. It was not easy to freely give what belongs to you. Every offering to God, it involves a sacrifice. It involves some pain. You have to separate yourself from something that is important to you. You have to separate yourself from something that is dear and come and give it to God. That's why it is called a sacrifice. Amen. And we saw last week that not every sacrifice is accepted by God. Not every offering is pleasant to God. So I said, the aim is to make you people, brethren, brother, sister, that when you bring your offering to God, we want you to be blessed. We don't want you to offer in vain. We don't want you to make sacrifices in vain that in return, God will not bless you. Because there's an element of blessing attached. We read last week in Proverbs that God said, bring something and I will bless you. But not everything you bring will attract blessing. There are requirements. You need to meet some requirements for your offering to be accepted by God. We saw in the Garden of Eden that there was two worshippers. They got a revelation because their father, their mother didn't teach them that to go to worship God, you need to bring something. It was a revelation that to worship God, we have to bring something. They brought something. Cain brought his offering. Abel brought his offering. But there were prerequisites. There were requirements that they had to meet in order for their offerings to be accepted by God. Abel met the requirement. Cain didn't meet the requirement. That's why when we come, our aim is to help you, help us as we come to worship, that our offering will be accepted by God. What are the requirements? What is the channel, the proper channel by which God will accept our offering? Amen? So, as a people, we come to church, we come to serve God. God calls us that we are priests. Amen? Yeah. Revelation 1. Brother Clayton, can you give us Revelation 1? 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He has made us kings and priests. And when you are made a priest's job is to make sacrifices. Amen. Amen. A priest's job is to make offerings. So if he has made us priests, Amen. our first job is to make sacrifices. We have to offer sacrifices to God to fulfill our ministry as priests. We are supposed to give sacrifices to God. That's why I was saying, don't focus on money. I'm not looking at your money. But your sacrifices God wants from you to give when you come to worship, what is that sacrifice? Because you are a priest. And as a priest, remember, when the priests were offering sacrifices in the temple, it was not a pleasant place to go. Amen. There was a lot of pain involved in offering sacrifices because the lamb has to be tied up. The lamb has to be pulled against his own will. It had to be taken to the shelter. It has to be taken to the altar to be killed. It was not a pleasant. They were screaming. They were shouting. They were crying. That's what we are called to. We are called to make sacrifices as priests. When we come to worship, it involves sacrifice. Worship shouldn't be something that it is pleasant. You know, a car stops at your doorstep. You enter in. We drive you safely, we take you there, and we pamper you in church. No, it involves a sacrifice. Amen. You have to make it, it has an element of pain in it. Because you are a priest, you are coming to offer a sacrifice to God. And there's an element of surrendering yourself to God. This time, some of us would have been in our bed sleeping. I remember once at work, there was a lady, she was really, I think she was scandalized when I told her, every Sunday I go to church. She said, Sunday? You are at work from Monday to Friday, yes. And then Sunday, instead of sleeping, what time do you wake up? I say, I wake up 7 o'clock. I say, you must be crazy. And you go to church from what time to what time? I said, from 10, and I come back home around 3 or 4 p.m. Say, you must be crazy. Are you paid for that? Amen. You know, there's an element of pain. You have to forsake yourself, your own priorities, put them aside. Amen. Because fleshly speaking, it's good to sleep in the bed. It's good on a Sunday to open your TV, to be there with your feet on the sofa and enjoy yourself. It's good weather, you can go on the beach and travel, but it's a sacrifice you are making to God. It's something you are giving to God. You are taking a portion of your liberty, a portion of your freedom, and coming to church to worship God. It's an offering you are giving God. Amen? That's why beyond even you taking your money to church, the way you are coming, the only fact that you surrender everything and come to worship God, it's an offering in itself to begin with. Amen? It's an offering in itself. And there must be an element of blessing attached to that. You shouldn't come here not to receive a blessing.
That's why we'll see what are the conditions. Because you're coming here, you may come like me, like Brother James, like Brother Greg, but he receives a blessing, you don't receive a blessing. Remember Cain and Abel. That's why we don't want you to come here and go back not being blessed. Amen. And worse, being cursed. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because that's another aspect. Amen. If you don't approach correctly, Amen. If you don't discern the body of the Lord, there's an element of curse attached to that. So our offering, how will we bring it so that it will be acceptable to God? What is that offering that you as a priest, you must offer to God?
Amen.
Romans 12, 1.
Does this work?
Okay. Romans 12, 1. You are a priest. You are to offer sacrifices. And what is that sacrifice that God wants you to offer? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. You are a priest. And what do you have to present on the altar? Present your body as a living sacrifice. That's not enough yet. Amen. Your body, you can present it. A living sacrifice, but it is not accepted yet. See, it must be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you must offer your body, but not only your body, it must be holy. Amen. That God should accept it. For God, you can give your body. That's why Paul says, though I give my body to be burned, if there's no charity, if there's no love in me, my offering is in vain. That's why giving your body is fine, but there is criteria. There are requirements you have to meet. Amen? So as a priest, what offering are you giving to God? What are you taking with you when you are going to worship? Because remember, there is no worship without giving. There's no worship without an element of pain, without a surrender of yourself. So what are the conditions now? Because you can give as much as you like. You can come Sunday after Sunday, do something, clean the church, give something to the, you know, offerings of love to the minister, doing this, pleasing, being. But what does God want? Because it may still be in vain. Matthew 15, 8 and 9. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. Amen. Teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. So we see here that Jesus is putting now in a focus on what a worship should be. The external expression that we see may not be what God wants. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because we see you coming to church. We see you giving big money. We see you singing. We see you worshiping, praising, and doing what we do. But Jesus says, you are worshiping me only from your lips. Mm-hmm. Amen? But their heart is far from me. So that means that true worship is the inner worship.
Amen.
Amen. True worship must be from the heart.
Amen.
And the expression of what you do in the heart is what we see.
Amen.
But it may be fake,
yes,
or it may be real.
True.
But the true worshiper that you are, you can't deceive your mind. You can't deceive yourself. For your worship to be accepted by God, it must be something that comes from your inside.
Amen.
And coming from the inside, what does it mean exactly? Because you can say, okay, I love God and I want to worship God. But it's even far deeper than that. Amen? It's even far deeper than that. Because when we go back into history, in the Bible, we'll see those who worshipped God. We see that there was that external aspect of worship, but it was the result of something bigger that started in the heart. It was the result of a realization of who God is for them. Amen. Worship must start there. It must be a realization. Your heart, your human being realize how God is good. Your human mind realize how God is great. And your heart reacts to that realization that God is good to you. And your heart starts worshiping God. And then your body expresses what is within your heart.
Amen.
Amen. That is true worship. You must first realize who is God for you. Your human being, your mind, catch a grasp of who God is for you. And then when you realize that, the response of your heart to that realization, your heart starts now worshiping God.
Amen.
True worship starts from the heart.
Amen.
Amen. True worship starts from the heart. That's why in the world, you'll see people, they'll do whatever they can because it's an inner conviction. Amen. It's an inner conviction. They want to look like Michael Jackson. They want to look like Rihanna. Why? Because it's a deeper conviction in their heart. They know what Rihanna is for them. They know what Lady Gaga is for them. And they start something from the inside, push the outside to reflect Rihanna.
Amen.
Amen. Something from the heart push them to reflect Michael Jackson. Amen. That's what true worship should be for God. It's you realizing how great God is for you.
Amen.
And the true realization of the greatness of God, most of the time, we'll get to that in a future lesson. Most of the time, we do what we do is just because we don't realize who really God is. If we can value what God is, because God is invaluable. God is above, God is infinite. Amen. Yeah. The value of God is infinite. So, if you have to catch, if you really catch what God's value is, you will value him above all things, and then you will worship him above all things. That's why coming to church wouldn't be something that they force you to do, but you realize the greatness, the value of God for you, and that value gives your heart that expression to express your love to him, and your body reacts to that realization, and you come to church. Amen? Why do we sometimes, put some other things before God? Because we value these things more than God. Amen? Because we value them more than God. You choose between going to church. You have a choice at work. You are told if you come to work on a Sunday, they'll pay you a bonus, 3,000 euro. But there's a church service on Sunday. It's a process in your mind. Amen? A process starts in your mind. There's a scale of values in your mind. You start now scaling, balancing now. God is here. 3,000 euro are there. And the one you give more value you will obey and accept the offer. If you value God more than 3,000 euro, you will take God. If you value 2,000 euro more than God, you will take 3,000 euro. That's what worship should be. That you realize that God is the most important resource that you have. And then your heart reacts to that realization and your body worships God. That's what Jesus said. They worship me from their mouth, but their heart is not in the worship. You may come so that people can see you. Listen, we're just going to go and read a few verses there. Exodus 14:31. I think that was Israel after they came out of Egypt. 31 and 15:1. Because 14:31 is the last verse, and 15:1. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Listen how the verse starts. And Israel saw, it's a realization, amen? It's an observation. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. 15:1. Then, do you see that word? After they realized, after they saw, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Worship came from the realization of what God was for them. Then they started worship. Amen. That's what worship is. You realize what God is for you, then you worship. Amen. Your body reacts to your heart realizing how God is good to you. Amen. Genesis 12. Abraham. Genesis 12, 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded thee an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I think this King James Version didn't put it very right. It's okay, but he didn't really express it. The New International Version says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord. You see, a consequence. After God gave him that promise, Abraham realized how big the blessing was, so he built an altar to the Lord. The last one we are going to read before we close. Genesis 33, 18 to 20. This is Jacob now, after God saved him from the wrath of his brother Esau. Verse 18. And Jacob came to Shechem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padanaram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent, and at the end of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Verse 20. And he erected there an altar, and called it El Elohi Israel. Amen. After a great deliverance, because he was to be killed by his brother Esau, but God delivered him. It was a mighty work of God. And see the name Jacob gave to that place. Amen. El Elohi Israel, which means God is the God of Israel. Amen. Amen. And Israel was himself Jacob. After he realized the greatness, the great work of God, Amen. He built an altar. And he said, God is my Lord. Amen. he realized that God that I was taught before is not only the God of my father, of my forefather, but is my own God now. And after that realization, he built an altar. And he offered a sacrifice. Amen. So we'll stop here today. And we'll see how God will lead. So we can, God can teach us more from this subject. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again. Take now control of the rest of the service. We thank you for the Sunday school lessons, for the children up there. For us here, we believe, O Lord, that you spoke to us and that these things will edify us. These things will quicken us. Our faith will not be the same as before, O Lord. Bless your people for listening and let these things become really a living bread for us, O Lord. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.